benediction, that whoever's head you touch, their head will split into pieces. And Vrikasura wanted to try it out on Lord Shiva. So Lord Krishna appeared and got that foolish demon to touch his own head, which cracked into pieces. So the Lord cannot tolerate offenses against Lord Shiva. And in fact, the Lord intervenes if Lord Shiva gets into difficulty. And if Lord Shiva gives the wrong benediction to someone, then the Supreme Lord does not get angry with him, but he forgives him very nicely, in a very affectionate way. So this is in the story of Vrikasura. Having killed Vrikasura, this is from the 88th chapter of the 10th canto. Having killed Vrikasura, the Supreme Lord tells Lord Shiva, "Just see, O Mahadev, how this wicked man has been killed by his own sinful reactions. Indeed, what living being can hope for good fortune if he offends exalted saints? What to speak of offending the Lord and spiritual master of the universe," who in this case he is saying is Lord Shiva. The Supreme Lord is addressing Lord Shiva as the Lord and spiritual master of the universe, and saying that because this rascal Vrikasura offended you, he has come to this very dramatic end. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, in his purport to this verse from the Bhagavatam, says that this was a mild scolding from Lord Vishnu. Mild scolding. But actually the Lord was really highlighting the compassion of Lord Shiva, his exceptional compassion. So it wasn't like when Lord Nrsingadev chastised Lord Brahma and told him, "Do not give any more benedictions like that." So, Lord Shiva says that, Lord Brahma says that Lord Shiva was worshipped by Lord Vishnu when he drank the poison from the that ocean of poison. Then the demigods came, and the Supreme Lord himself came and worshipped Lord Shiva. And the Puranas sing of Lord Vishnu's mercy on him. So Narada Muni is so fired up, so excited. He wants to go immediately to Mount Kailash within the universe. But Lord Brahma stops him and tells him, "No. Don't go there. That is just a limited manifestation of Lord Shiva, who you'll find there on Kailash. You go to Shiva Loka. That is like a liberated planet beyond the universe. You go there to Shiva Loka, the original abode of Lord Shiva. It's beyond the coverings of the universe. And there you'll see Lord Shiva in his full splendor." So Narada Muni, totally in this mood of seeing Lord Shiva as not different from Lord Krishna, just so excited and ecstatic, Narada Muni went flying away chanting, "Shiva, Krishna, Shiva, Krishna," like this, off to Shiva Loka. So we'll take up the story in Shiva Loka tomorrow. Any comments or questions? Shinga Kavachapam. Yeah, our Lord Brahma is the living entity. Lord Brahma, the Jiva. And Hiranyagarbha is, he is described by Prabhupada as It's either Prabhupada or Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. As the prototype Lord Brahma. Yeah. The original form. The original form within the whole material creation, who expands into each universe. Hiranyagarbha. Yeah. So he is... He's like Shambhu, that very high form of Lord Shiva. You know, there's an element, a very strong element of his being not different from the Supreme Lord. He's not exactly the Supreme Lord, though. But he's up there somewhere in some special type of category, like Shambhu. Well, I haven't got that. Was there already? Yeah, it's not put like that directly in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Anyway, you know, is Vishnu Tattva like in the same way that Lord Shiva, Prabhupada in Chaitanya Charitamrita, says there's an original form of Lord Shiva, who has his own Vaikuntha planet. And he's a Leela expansion. So, you know, he's very close up there like that. Someone else? Other? No, the strange ones, no. See, there are two Lord Shiva, two forms of Lord Shiva. Sorry, the question is that we have said that the followers of Lord Shiva are liberated, or Lord Brahma has said that. So does that include the hobgoblins, right, and all those ghosts and so on who are the followers of Lord Shiva that we read about sometimes in the Bhagavatam? So the answer there is that, just as Lord Brahma has pointed out, that the Shiva within this universe is not on the same level as this original Lord Shiva who's in Shiva Loka, which is beyond the universe. Beyond the coverings of the universe. So in that Shiva Loka, there's the complete manifestation of Lord Shiva and all his associates are completely liberated. But the Lord Shiva within this universe, who is associated, at least there's like a group, it's not all. Not that all his associates are all ghosts and hobgoblins, but there's a very extensive group. But they're not liberated. They are conditioned souls, but through his mercy, they're making progress to becoming elevated, becoming devotees or liberated or being benefited in some way. But they are not the liberated associates of Lord Shiva. That's another category altogether. Can I just understand the question? Are you asking whether the Lord Brahma who's speaking here is the prototype Lord Brahma? So the question is, the three sort of popular deities in the Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva who are referred to, are they the prototypes? Well, the Brahma and Shiva are not. They're the localized demigods within the universe. Yeah. The Lord Vishnu is also the Lord Vishnu within the universe. It's not Mahavishnu specifically. Yeah. Either Garbhadakshaya or Shiradakshaya Vishnu, depending on the context. Yeah. Can be either, depending on the context. And sometimes it's even interchangeable. Which is that we've been talking about two forms of Lord Shiva, but in the Bhagavatam there's mention of 11 forms of Rudra. So where do they fit into this whole sort of picture in terms of the personality of Shiva? First thing is, Lord Shiva is a very big and very complex person. He's not at all a simple person. He's far more complex than Lord Brahma and he is far greater than Lord Brahma. So the 11 Rudras are generally, those Rudras are described as being the particular forms of Lord Shiva who help with the destruction of the universe. In fact, when Lord Brahma became angry with the four Kumars in the Bhagavatam, then the 11 Rudras came out at that time, and they started to destroy the universe, but Lord Brahma told them, stop. It is not the right time yet. So he sent them, and they are now waiting. Yeah, but when the time comes, they will come out and take part in the destruction of the universe. I think it's there. I think you'll see, you'll find it there. Yeah. Yes, Dadu has made an interesting point that Lord Brahma, we don't have records of him giving bad benedictions since the time of Ravana. He didn't, when Ravana came again as Shishupal, Lord Brahma didn't give any benedictions. But then he asks that if Goloka Vrindavan can be part of this universe in a certain sense, then what is wrong with considering the Kailash of Lord Shiva within the universe as being on the same level as the Shiva Loka outside? Well, there's a greater sense of difference. Yeah. You know, Goloka is all-pervading and just, you know, completely beyond everything and totally supreme. And so is Krishna, the Lord of Goloka. Lord Shiva is not on that level, although he is on a high level. So, you know, he has that capacity to exist on different levels, in different spheres, and function in different ways to some degree. But, you know, it's not that sort of universal freedom that here, like for example, here we're in Gokula. So it's not different from Goloka. It's not different. So, but the Kailash of Shiva within the universe and the original Shiva Loka beyond the coverings, there is a difference. Yeah. Kuvera, in fact, donated that abode, Kailash, to Lord Shiva within this universe. It is part of his, sort of on the edge of his kingdom. Sanatan Goswami makes that point in one of his purports there. And it is like a limited form of Lord Shiva who is present there. In fact, sometimes it is a Shaktyavesh form. It's a Jiva soul who's empowered to function as Lord Shiva who's living on Kailash. And the associates he is with, they're not all the great liberated personalities. There's all sorts of, you know, these strange people, ghosts and Buddhas and so on, yeah. But in Shiva Loka, the original Shiva Loka, you don't find those people at all. No. So there is a difference like that. But, you know, still, it is his abode, and it is Lord Shiva. So there's a sense of similarity of, you know, like spanning across. His abode is kind of subdivided into different sections. Yeah. And he is present in those different sections in appropriate forms. And, you know, we've just made a distinction that the original Lord Shiva is something very special. The Lord Shiva in Kailash is not on the same level. But we can't forget that it is Lord Shiva. Yeah. We can't say that, you know, they're like two independent personalities. But still there's a degree of difference which exists and is real. And Shiva within this universe, he cannot just, you know, his situation is not just the same. Not totally. But there's a degree, otherwise they wouldn't be called Lord Shiva. Yes, that's true. Yes. We Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're going on to chapter 3 of Brihad Bhagavatamrita by Srila Sanatan Goswami. Today the discussion focuses primarily on Lord Shiva. We were hearing yesterday about the glories of Lord Indra and of Lord Brahma. They're very special persons, and in their own ways they have some mercy from the Lord, but at the end, Lord Brahma was saying that if you really want to see someone who has some mercy, or who really has the greatest mercy, it's Lord Shiva. So Narada Muni, he went to the Shiva Loka beyond the universe, outside the universe. It is there basically, just by the Brahma Jyoti, and very special place. So Narada Muni arrived there and saw Lord Shiva. He was meditating. Well, he was in a trance, at least. He wasn't really meditating. He was in an ecstatic trance, having just finished his meditating on and worshipping Lord Sankarshan. So I guess he wasn't meditating, because he was dancing and shouting, Jai, Jai. Of course, we also dance and chant, and that's a type of meditation. But he was very ecstatic, just completely locked into his transcendental world of Krishna consciousness. And he was glorifying his assistants who were accompanying him with music and clapping their hands and so on. And Narada Muni arrived there. Of course, if you remember last night when Narada Muni left Brahmaloka, he was so much into this idea of there being a oneness between Lord Shiva and Krishna. He was just so much into this idea that he was calling out, shouting out, with great fervor, Shiva, Krishna, Shiva, Krishna. So he arrived to see this very ecstatic scene. He became even more ecstatic, to the point that he tried to bow down, but he couldn't, because he was just dancing too much. So somehow he was not able to bow down. And I'm sure you know what he did. He saw Lord Shiva and he said, You are the greatest recipient of the Lord's mercy, and began to glorify him as Lord Brahma had told him, basically, giving the different examples and arguments which Lord Brahma had presented. So, Narada Muni approached Lord Shiva, wanting to take some dust from his lotus feet. But as he approached Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva became overwhelmed with a great inundation of ecstasy. He just grabbed Narada Muni and embraced him. and asked him, "What are you talking about in by glorifying him?" So he hadn't really digested the fact that Narada Muni was specifically focusing on him. Maybe he thought he was just feeling, you know, very happy to see him or something. But he hadn't really realized that Narada Muni was just into this thing about him. So they sat down together. But Lord Shiva noticed that Narada Muni was not now saying that he was the greatest, that Lord Shiva was the greatest recipient of Krishna's mercy. Now he had started chanting the six-syllable Rudra mantra, some special mantra glorifying Lord Shiva. And Narada Muni, after he recited that prayer for a while, started glorifying Lord Shiva as the supreme controller of the universe, and how Lord Krishna was so merciful to him. But Lord Shiva covered his ears and angrily spoke to Narada Muni. So he told Narada Muni, "I'm not the Lord of the universe, nor am I a recipient of any of the Lord's mercy. I'm just a poor soul hankering for the mercy of the servants of his servants." In other words, he feels he's not fortunate enough to get some of Krishna's mercy. He'll just try for some of the mercy of the servants of Krishna. So, interesting thing happened. Narada Muni became bewildered, thinking, maybe I have committed an aparad by describing him as being non-different from Krishna. So he stopped glorifying Lord Shiva. And then, in a very soft voice, he spoke to Lord Shiva. First thing he said was, it's there, I mean it's basically there on page 6 of your study guides, but it is a bit brief, a little brief really. So, Narada Muni thought very quickly. He thought, let me say something which is a glorification, but which Lord Shiva is not really going to be able to deny too easily. So he glorified him as the head of a sampradaya. And of course, Lord Shiva could not say that I'm not the head of a sampradaya, because he was already the head. He said, you understand, you're the head of the sampradaya, you understand the confidential, mysterious glories of Lord Vishnu and the devotees, and you explain those glories very nicely as the head of the sampradaya. So Lord Shiva couldn't really say anything to that. And Narada then got a little bit more into glorifying that as a result of this, your mercy is aspired for by the best Vaishnavas. Then he started gradually getting into more sensitive areas. He said, actually, I know that Krishna respects you. And he even sometimes he glorifies you. Now Lord Shiva is getting disturbed again. Then Narada Muni went too far, at least for Lord Shiva. He said, I know that Krishna has worshipped you and has even begged you for benedictions before. Which is true. In different incarnations, in one of the Puranas, the Vamana Purana, there's a story of how Krishna prayed to Lord Shiva to get the Sudarshan Chakra, and Lord Shiva gave him the Sudarshan Chakra. It's a particular pastime. Then one time, it's also in the Vamana Purana, there's a story of how Krishna wanted a good son. So Lord Shiva gave him a blessing, and as a result, he got Samba as a son. So when Narada Muni said this, Lord Shiva suddenly sprung up from his seat, and with both hands, he put both hands over Narada Muni's mouth. And actually he was very upset. He said, "Stop speaking about my arrogant behavior." These things actually had happened, and he knew that they had happened. And he really regretted those things. He felt so embarrassed to be reminded that he had thought he could offer benedictions to his Lord. So Lord Shiva, again in an angry mood, and just like a distressed mood, he told Narada Muni that, "Don't you understand that these pastimes are just there just so everyone can see that the Lord's pastimes are incomprehensible? You can't understand the Lord's pastimes." In other words, don't take it seriously. But then he said, "You know, it's a fact. You've reminded me. I'm a big offender. And what to speak of not having received the greatest mercy from the Lord? I am surprised. I cannot understand how he has not rejected me. Somehow he allows me to continue doing something, but I just can't understand it." So Narada Muni grabbed Lord Shiva's feet, made him sit down, and told him that even though people may sometimes think that you're offensive when you do certain things, but Krishna doesn't see you like that. Because Krishna, the way Krishna sees you is that you are fully dedicated to spreading his glories and spreading devotional service, either directly or indirectly, one way or another. This is how Krishna sees you. So then Narada, because Lord Shiva, he was in this very disappointed state of mind, regretting what he felt were his offenses, Narada Muni tried to explain to Lord Shiva how he was really very dear to Krishna, and how there was evidence to support that. And not only that, to show that he got special mercy, and that he's definitely not an offender. So Narada Muni, he first of all mentioned Banasura. Banasura was a great demon. He had many arms. He wanted to fight with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he had become very powerful by worshipping Lord Shiva. So, the story is there how when Banasura was fighting Lord Krishna, Krishna defeated him and was just about to kill him with the Sudarshan Chakra. But then Banasura prayed to Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva quickly appeared and appealed to Krishna, "Please be merciful. Please don't kill this Banasura. So when Lord Krishna realized that Banasura was very dear to Lord Shiva, he completely changed his mind. And he told Banasura, on the spot, he gave him a four-armed fawn.